Wandering near the city of Jerusalem, a father sadly looked into the eyes of his children. He said, "The time for sacrifice has come. Our sins must be covered. Our wrongs must be atoned." The younger one said, "I don't understand why our sins can't be forgiven without the killing of my lamb." The father took the young child by the hand and said, "There will come a day when the Lion out of Judah will become the Lamb of God and take our sins away. There will come a day, no more sacrifice is needed. Perfect grace will be completed. There will come a day." One day in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But he knew the plan of God would have to be. And in just a few short hours, he would die on Calvary. His humanity cried, "Lord, any other way." His divinity rose up and said, "This price I'll have to pay." And just before the Father turned away, he said, "There will come a day. Your defeat will turn to victory, for the cross that you carry bears the weight of all the world. There will come a day when the blood stains in your hands declare the hope for every man. There will come a day." Each day that we live among sin's awful curse, the evidence of darkness seems to only get much worse. We cry to God in anguish, "Lord, how long will you allow this evil world to just go on and on?" But all of us who've made this God our choice can listen in our spirit. We can hear his voice. He calls our downcast souls to rise. The mighty name of Jesus will forever be proclaimed. There will come a day. Will more night, no sin, no sorrow, no more longing for tomorrow. Oh, my child, there will come a day. No sin, no sorrow, no more longing for tomorrow. Oh, my child, there will come a day.
come a day, and it's getting closer. Hallelujah. The only problem is the Bible teaches us nobody knows the day nor the hour, so we really cannot put a day to that day. But the Bible also teaches us when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, for redemption is drawing nigh. And when we're looking at how the world system is operating, they're going from dumb to dumber, from confusion to confusioner. I'm telling you, they don't know if they're male or female or a toaster. You look at them and you wonder what is going on. Satan has them running in a circle. It says, in the last days they will listen to doctrines of devils. And this is what's happening. So the question is, on what do we look at as far as the signs of the times is concerned? I've been listening and watching the Middle East now for the last 25 years, 30 years, and I've been watching the Americans for the last 2-3 years, and it's starting to shape up. There's something going on that a lot of people are missing, and a lot of preachers have been asking the question, where will America be when the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war will begin? Will they be maybe annihilated by the Russians? Will they be raptured? Why will they not have a say-so? Never nobody thinking of a guy by the name of Donald Trump telling, hey, our agenda is to pull the troops out of the Middle East. We fought their wars enough for them. It's useless. As soon as we pull out, they kill each other anyway. So let's just come all home. And by the grace of God, he has an interesting person that is advising him by the name of Robert Jeffries. How many of you know him? Robert Jeffries. He is a Baptist pastor who knows and studies the end times, and I'm sure he's telling Donald Trump, bring him home. Let God take care of the situation. Very interesting. So we're seeing California burning up. It's getting worse every year. 20 years ago, I went to California on a weekly basis. Never saw one fire there. Now you can't go there because the whole state is on fire every year. I don't know what's going to happen next year. So we are now looking at the Middle East. What's happening there? And people who study the end times knows that it's falling into line. There's something about this book which no other book dares to do. What is it? That's telling us, what's coming in the future. Has any other book ever did that? It prophesied that one of these days the Israelis will be brought out from every land, every kindred, every tongue, every nation, and they will become a nation again. And guess when it happened? In 1948 in May, they became a nation. So it became true. But this book also prophesies of a future war. Will it be before the tribulation? I'm not quite certain. Will it be before the rapture? I don't know. Will it be after the rapture? Then we're very close to the rapture. So today I will teach on it from I'll have a few scriptures explaining what's happening with the Middle Eastern, Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. I'll bring you up to date Because I've studied it from all sides. I've listened to Helen on that. And the Bible is very clear. But now there's things falling into place that 5-6 years ago I argued with people. No, God cannot be Russia. It's Turkey. Now Russia is down in the Middle East. So now they finally agree God is Russia. So before we get into this message today, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We know and can be joyful as we watch the signs of the times. We're soon coming home. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, you may be seated. Yesterday, I was watching a preacher, and he had an interesting stack of information from news media in Sweden. They are basically it's a cashless society already. They're implanting themselves with little chips in their right hand, and when they go and buy, you use a credit card. They just put their hands there and their hand there, and they pay for stuff like that. They showed it on TV. And I said, 20 years ago, we were prophesying this. Now it's happening all over. In Sweden, it's starting. And we have to remember something very interesting. God has prophesied it. Cash will be useless. In Sweden, they don't accept cash anymore. I watched, they showed it. This guy went in, he wanted to offer cash for what he was buying, and he said, no cash, so he had to use a credit card. The other guy just put his hand there. Look, he had this little chip there about this big. Don't even feel it when they put it into their hands. Anyways, we are coming to that place very quickly. Are we ready? So why Russia? What's going on over there? Well, when Obama became president, something interesting happened that the world couldn't figure out. And that was the Russians took over Crimea. Anybody who knows what that is? It's a seaport that is open all year long. And it's straight north of Israel. And there's a canal going through there. You can come down straight, and they're using it now to ferry soldiers, to bring soldiers to the Middle East. Why are they doing that? In Ezekiel 38, in verse 1 to 3, it says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. So God has a grudge against the Russians. He's got a score to settle with them. And it tells us in 4 and 5, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth in all thine armies, and all thy horses and horsemen, all thy clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company, bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Now listen to this. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shields and helmets. So they're getting ready. Who? Persia is Iran. They've been threatening to annihilate Israel. Ethiopia is on the southern border, south of Israel. And then you got Libya, also south of Israel. So we got Libya and Ethiopia to the south. We got the Iranians to the east. And then we got Togarmah and Magog to the north. What's to the west? The Mediterranean Sea. You can't go very far that way. It's so they're basically hemmed in. And the Bible teaches us God will be sanctified in that war. People of this earth will know that He is the one that brought it about. So these armies are coming. So this is why the Russians had to take Crimea. And now they are the policemen in the Middle East. Not too long ago, about 2 weeks ago, is the week ago, Bush took out al-Baghdadi. You know who that is? No, it was Trump that took him out, right? Al-Baghdadi, sorry for I might do it a few times yet, but I'll pray against it. Who is that al-Baghdadi? He is the leader of ISIS. He was running, screaming for his life into a tunnel. A dog was chasing him, and he blew himself up. Now, how did he get there? He had to ask permission from the Russians to do it. Can you imagine? Trump, the Americans had to ask permission from the Russians to do it. Now, all of a sudden, we're seeing Trump making statements. We're going to bring our troops home. We've been fighting their war for 50 years, and we haven't accomplished nothing. The minute we're out of there, guess what? They're back to fighting one another again. So now Trump is bringing home the troops. And guess who is against it? Those warmongers these that are in Washington. Why are they against it? They're making millions and millions and millions of dollars with all the ammunition and all the war stuff they're selling into the army. So they're making a lot of money, and they're against it. Wouldn't you want your kids to come home? You don't want them killed. No, we want money. We want money. But Trump is smart. He is ordained by God. He is the last trumpet. It's going to be the last one, because after that, if they don't turn, God is going to say this is enough. I want to read to you Ezekiel 38. In verse 6 and 8, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters, and all his bands, many people with thee, be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company, that they are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. So Putin is going to be the leader. We used to have arguments over that. Oh, the Russians can't be. It's Turkey that's going to be the leader. No, Russia, the reason is the leader is because he has nuclear weapons. Turkey hasn't got any nuclear weapons. Iran hasn't got any nuclear weapons. Neither does Libya or Ethiopia. So who is going to be a guard unto them? It's going to be the Russians that are going to call the shots. Already, Israel is asking for permission from the Russians to bomb Iranian places there where they're bringing in rockets and all sorts of stuff. A lot of stuff happening there. It's not reported on the news. You have to know where to go to find that stuff. It says, you shall be a guard unto them, and after many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which has always been always waste, but it has brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Today, Israel, when you listen to Safati, it's a most prosperous place in the world. They're the ones that invented the cell phone. So if you're using a cell phone, you say, thank you, Israel. They are now able to take water out of the Mediterranean Sea and take the salt out of it and selling waters to Jordan, to other nations around them. It was Golda Meir that said, why would Moses take us through all that desert to where all those oil riches are and bring us into Israel where there's absolutely nothing? 20 years ago, I had arguments with certain people that the Israelis are going to find oil. And there is no oil in Israel, they said. They've been looking and looking. And I said, no, it's advertised. It's prophesied in the Word of God that they will find oil. And about 10 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, they found a humongous oil reserve out in the Mediterranean Sea that was natural gas. And then, a couple of years later, the Golan Heights brought forth tons and tons of oil. They say, I'll give you an idea, an average oil patch would be about 30 yards deep. That's the compressed oil in there. That's where they go in. It's about 30 yards, 36 yards. Israel has 300 yards on the Golan Heights. That's exactly where it was prophesied in the land of Joseph, where they will find that oil. And now all of a sudden, Mr. Putin, the Russians, they're starting to come down to the Middle East. What do they want in the Middle East? I'll read it to you. Ezekiel 38 in verse 9, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at that same time shall things come into thy mind. Thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest and dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and neither having bars nor gates. Now listen to in verse 12, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, to take a spoil and take a prey. I want you to look at something very interesting. What is the spoil that they're going to take? Is it up there? And to take a spoil, take the SP away from spoil and you'll see what they're after. It's right in front of your eyes. This is what they're after. They're after the oil that's there. And it says to take a spoil and take a prey, to turn thy hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and on the people that are gathered out of all the nations. We, this church, we have sent them thousands of dollars to bring the Jewish people back from Russia, to bring them home into the land of Israel. And we're still doing it today. That's one of our ministries. So if you're a little bit stingy about giving money to this ministry, think of those guys. The sooner they're back, the sooner we're out of here. Come on, hurry it up. The Bible teaches us, hasten the day of the Lord. Shell it out, boys, shell it out. We got to hasten the day of the Lord. He's coming back. It says, and up on the people that are gathered out of the nations, they have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land. You should hear Safati talk about their milk cows. They milk them 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, they never stop milking them. They produce incredibly amounts of milk in Israel. The fruit that is produced there is almost beyond what we can comprehend. And the world is just looking in awe as that desert that was desert before just is blooming and producing. And you will find a scripture in Ezekiel chapter 36, just before Israel returns back to the land, that God will speak to the land and it will start producing. The scripture is there. They couldn't even grow vegetables before. They couldn't grow. The only thing that they barely could grow was olive trees, which are very, they love alkaline land. So what is it now? It's an incredible land. We were there. We were looking at it. We walked through the stalls as they stole the strawberries, the peppers, the corn, the whatever you wanted to look at. It was lined up on either side of us as we walked through the market. Unbelievable, beautiful fruit and vegetables. And they're selling it to the rest of the world. Whereas 50, 60 years ago, they couldn't grow a bean there. Isn't that interesting how God is showing us? I'm coming back. Look at the signs of the times. Look what's happening. I'm coming soon. That's one of the greatest events or one of the greatest proofs that God is about to come back. It tells us Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to carry away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? And here I want to explain here, Sheba and Dedan. That's what they call the British. The British are Sheba and they're the isles there, the islands. And the young lions, they're pointing to Canada and to the Americans. They're going to just protest. Are you coming to take a spoil? This is where I say they cannot up till now figure out why will the Americans not go to the aid of Israel. I believe the Americans have a prophet called by the name of Grant Jeffries, or is it Robert Jeffries? Robert Jeffries. Don't go in there, guys. Let it just be. God knows exactly what he's going to do. And you know, behold, Trump is listening. He knows God is for real. He knows this is what's going to happen. And I personally believe he's not going to lift a finger. Why? Because we here, if the rapture doesn't happen, we here are going to watch this fight on our big screens. And we're going to see the 100-pound hailstones. We're going to see the overflowing water. We're going to see to Gomer and the Russians and Libya and Ethiopia start killing one another. Unbelievable warfare. The Bible teaches us in Zechariah that their flesh will melt from their face, their eyes will pop out of their sockets, their tongue will consume in their mouth, their flesh will be off their bones before they hit the ground. It's coming. It's prophesied. This is not some kindergarten or a kindergarten story that you tell children. It's here, it's coming, and it's going to happen very shortly. How do I know it's going to happen very shortly? Because Russia is in place, Turkey is in place, Iran is in place. The Americans are now starting to act exactly like the Bible says they're going to act. We have no business there. It's useless to help them. The minute we pull out, they do the same thing. Isn't that interesting? We're going to just sanction them if they don't behave. Oh, I love that. I look at that stuff and I say, Lord, you sure have a sense of humor. It's coming down the pike so fast. And here we are.
Most churches asleep at the wheel. They have no clue what's happening around the world. They just look at things that are happening and are wringing their hands in despair and grabbing their hair. What shall we do? Here is what we shall do. When you see these things begin to come to pass, start rejoicing. Jesus is coming for his bride. Are you his bride? I am. I have turned to him for salvation, and he is coming for me. Hallelujah. And if he accepted you, if you accepted him as your Savior, he's coming for you. This is what all these signs are about, to let the child of God know, I'm coming. Yes, you've said that for 2,000-3,000 years. Well, we're 2,000 years closer, that's for sure. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, as we see this stuff happening, I sometimes come home, I switch on the TV, I can't wait to see what they did now. Like every day is a new day on Fox News. It's not the same. It's unbelievable what's happening. The smoke screens they're putting up to try to hide the truth is unbelievable. Ezekiel 38 in verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when my people of Israel dwell safely, shall thou not know it? Shall thou not come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people? I listened to a preacher yesterday. He said the word Magog. There's the Chinese have a border with the Russians. It's on that wall they built, that great Chinese wall, and written across it is the wall of Magog. How can people be confused about who Magog is? They came out of they after the flood, they migrated north. It's right in the Bible. But there's so much confusion when it comes. And they say, they shall come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, and all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, and the heathen may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Next week, I'll explain to you from the word of God what happened to those poor people. Let me tell you, it's not going to be a picnic for them. The Russians and the Turks and the Muslim nations are going to form an alliance. They already are doing it. They're already having meetings. Turkey, Iran, and Russia have already signed a pact. We are going to operate in this place here. It's in Syria. There's nothing there anymore. But where is Syria? It's adjacent to Israel, to the Golan Heights. And from there, they'll start pushing into the mountains of Israel. And whoever has been in Israel will look out from this mount. You can see across the valley of Armageddon. You can look upon up to the Golan Heights. And you can imagine the incredible horror story that is going to be spelled out on those mountains yet. It's unbelievable, but God has written it for us 2,000 years ago. I mean, this book dares to tell us what's going to happen in the future. I was reading in Isaiah chapter 44. He said, bring forth your books. Do they dare to proclaim what's going to happen in the future like my book does? It's very interesting how the Bible dares to tell us what's going to happen. And let me tell you, I enjoy studying it. I love seeing these things coming to pass that I've studied for 30, 40 years now, up 20 years ago, who would have thought that Russia would so easily come into the Middle East? 20 years ago, who would have thought there could be a president like President Trump? 20 years ago, who would have thought that the young kids today don't know if they're male or female or a toaster? They haven't got a clue who they are, but they want us to fix climate change. Quit eating beef, by golly. Yes, I will. Watch. And you look at this and you wonder, has the world gone mad? Yes, it has. But we who know the Lord know the truth. We have the answers, and we need to give him those answers. If Jesus died for us, he said we weren't bought with silver or gold, but we were bought in affliction, in a powerful affliction moment at the cross of Calvary. He paid for our sin. He made us holy and clean and pure. We didn't do it ourselves. He did it for us. And we have the answer for those people. All we have to do is tell them how it works. Jesus loves you and he wants to save you. And he is willing that none perish. So let us open our hearts to that. Keep preaching the gospel, because we're going to see those things coming to pass, regardless whether we're saved or not. But we who are saved, we're going to get the benefit of all that's coming. So let the Lord open your heart, because we are definitely approaching a time where we're going to rejoice for the rest of eternity. So let the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Amen.
I'm standing in my Savior's shadow. He is watching. I feel the rain, I hear the thunder as he cries for me. I'm standing in my Savior's shadow. Grace will lead to where I'm free. I take his hand, we walk together, his light shines. Tries to break me, my sweet Jesus won't forsake me. When I'm in my Savior's shadow, where I'm supposed to be, I'm standing in my Savior's shadow, following his footsteps there. Every mountain, every ocean hears my every prayer. Though the devil tries to break me, my sweet Jesus won't forsake me. When I'm in my Savior's shadow, where I'm supposed to be. Though the devil tries to break me, my sweet Jesus won't forsake me.